I don't think there's anything really amazingly different in this sharing today. I think it's a place of just letting it settle and knowing where we are. Just before we do start to share that, a couple of things that happened just recently. The men who are in Spirit Lands might remember a man named Damascus, who came to Spirit Lands one night from Papua New Guinea. Anyone remember him? Do you remember him? We did almost like a ceremony. Because like in Papua New Guinea, it's kind of like traditional in a way that when one chief goes to another space, they like to be welcomed in special ways. And I knew this about Damascus. And so I let the Spirit Lands guys know, look, he expects a little bit of boop, boop, boop when he comes. And they were amazing. Like the Spirit just came upon people and we did basically a ceremony with him. And he went away like just feeling so good. I sat down last night just to check these notes and I get a phone call on the phone from Damascus in Papua New Guinea. And he just wanted to say hello to everyone. He wanted to ask for your prayers. But also that night we prayed for elevation for him, that he would become a stronger voice in where he is living. And I don't know if you remember, he has like an amazing memory for scripture. Like he'll just go, dirt, and then he'll go like John 12:2. That's it. Like, and he has them just rolling off his tongue. And in his prayer and in his intercession, he goes, no, this is going to happen, Lord, because you said this. And then he rolls it out. So last night he's ringing up, and like at first it's all breaking up, and I'm going, like, I just take this call. I didn't really have the time for it, but I thought, ask Damascus. He's probably in Papua New Guinea. He's ringing for a purpose. And it's just, you hear this jungle, and all these insects. And he's saying to me, it's breaking up because I know I've got you now, and I'm walking through the jungle. I'm in West Papua New Guinea. The sun's just going down, already gone down here, but he's a little bit further to the west, and it's just going down, it's getting dark. I'm trying to get to the top of the hill so that I can take the reception better. It's just amazing. I can't believe what he's doing. But you could actually hear him literally just moving things. Gets to the top, and he tells me that some of the prayer, like partially, that the prayers that we prayed that night, that he's flying to Papua New to Port Moresby in the middle of March, and he's meeting at a big church level with official type church people like bishops, and he's the lay representative for all of that area. And so he's going like, and he's got this amazing repertoire, but here he is ringing in, and then the Lord gave us an unction, which was something that happened in Spirit Lands just last week when the guys were praying. I think we're going to hear this theme a little bit today, just coming up different times. We're just praying for prophetic words for different people. And you know, Michelle Knight, like a fantastic woman. And this is just where I saw it. And Dave. And I saw Dave like just really, really sad at night. But he wasn't Dave, but was like representative of all fathers and all husbands. And he was repenting at the end of the night. Really deeply repenting for the omissions of not loving his bride during that day. And I mean, we can all be there. And I mentioned I mentioned it to the ladies, a couple of the ladies the other day, and I said, to be fair for Spirit Lands men, it would be just the same for the brides, that they would also be that repentant at the end of the night. For that. So that laying down of the light. And I said this to Damascus yesterday, last night on the phone, and he just went quiet. And then this next part. Jesus, our bridegroom, does not do that for us because he has fully given all. No omission, no need to repent of mistakes. Perfectly, he has given all to us, his bridegroom. Just fully. All we need to do is move with him. And then I said to him, now when you go with those bishops, don't hold back. Just give it. They'll be saying like, but this has got to happen first, but this has got to happen first, but this has got to happen first. No, just let it cascade. Let your word go into them. They will have to bring it to pass. Which reminds me of, do you know that movie Unstoppable? Anyone seen that movie Unstoppable where the train's going around the bend and everyone's got a Denzel Washington and they've got to get on board? And everyone's going, it's impossible. Abandon the train now. Get off. But Denzel and the co-star are going like, no, we can see a way. And basically they've got to get to couplings and unshackle. And it's impossible. The automatic system breaks up. They've got to do it manually. They can't see each other, but they have to trust that one person has a mission and knows what they're doing, and the other person has a mission and knows what they're doing. And that as they move towards that and persevere towards that and risk and go out towards that, that coupling will come. Or the other one that they need to release will be released. But there's no visual understanding of that. It's an inner sense, an inner move that happens for them. That's where we're at. We're like Joshua when they crossed over the Jordan. And the first instruction, you know, he's ready to go, and Joshua's told, no, stand back. Let the Ark of the Covenant go before you, because you have not been this way before, and you know not where you're going. In the last 2 years, I've been close to three people who've passed away. All three of them were spirit-filled people. They all had an amazing confidence that they were standing upon a rock. Despite the anxieties that might have come, the sadnesses that might have come, they stood on a word, and their word was something like this for each of them. I have got you and I will bring you through. Now obviously they've passed away, the interpretation wasn't clear. But they all died in that amazing peace of knowing they were crossing into glory. That's the biggest background stress in a human's life taken care of. And that's where we are. We have been called by God to live that space, fully knowing and trusting that when that time comes, we will have the same word for ourselves. I saw their eyes, particularly two ladies, I saw their eyes and their look as they passed away. Not in that last hour, but the day before. And it reminded me of Teresa of Calcutta, when she came to Australia once. And I saw her out after she gave a presentation. She was brought out by Fred Nile Group to speak, and I saw her out in the car park, and as she was in the car park, it was amazing, she had like this white limo that the Fred Nile Group had provided for her, and an entourage, and they all came up to the youth where I was standing for youth group, small youth group, 8 people probably, and they came up to the car exit, like the vehicle, right, vehicle's like a ministry. They're in this ministry going out now to somewhere else. And the little chain gate was across the pathway and the car couldn't get out. The whole entourage had to stop. And it looked like there was nowhere to go. Who's got the key? Where are they going to go? And they're all like, what is going to happen? And the nuns in the back are talking and talking, going, oh, poor Mother Teresa, we're mucking it up for her. And this guy and myself just went over to the chain and we just lifted it up. Wasn't locked. It looked like it was. And the ministry went on out. As Teresa went out, she's the only one in the back of this car, this driver and everyone, all these official people. No one looked at us, but she looked at us and went, thanks. I saw you. It was the same look that those two of those ladies that I was with close. This presence of God manifested in a human form that just went, I noticed you. When we're in this transition of convergence, I don't know if you know this phenomenon, where the oceans sometimes don't touch very well. That's one ocean, perhaps the Atlantic and the Pacific, and they're meeting at a point in the currents. And they don't mix too good. The salinity level is one of the issues. Sometimes it's a density of the matter in it, like river water or things like that. They don't quite touch. That can be what happens for us in our minds. As we understand, there's the fence. Oh no, just lift it up, it's not locked. We can move on further. We can become more than a church we've ever seen before. We're not just a church here. It's a gathering of kingdom like-minded people. But you're free to go. You're not locked. We know that when you fly from here, we hope when you fly from here, you're going on ministry. And you know your identity, that it was good while you're here. Sustained, nutritional, healthy, infilling, spirit-filled, saw the culture, lived it, took it elsewhere. That'd be great. Everyone wants to see that sort of flight. Or, you know, into your workplaces or into your families to be taking your ministry there. And sometimes we can get bogged down, can't we? It just doesn't look right, but there's just a shame because there's a presence already with us. I went to Jerusalem Creek once by chance, just curious of the name, wondering if there was a surf break there. On my own, no mobile phones, and got bobbed in the sand because I didn't take the right vehicle with me. I didn't have the four-wheel drive, it was an old EJ Holden. I thought, I'll just let the air out of the tyres and she'll go across the sand nice and smooth down the creek, bush tracks. It did for a long, long way, unfortunately. It was the hardest one at the end that I got stuck on my own. I was waiting for people like you, Dom, to come walking down. No one came except the kids. It's like, what help is that? That was a Friday afternoon. I was going home that night to Sydney, but I just wanted to have a quick, you know, everything looked like it was going to work. Don't go there, by the way. If you want good surf, don't go there, but do go there for four-wheel drive. It's beautiful. Jerusalem Creek on the north coast. And so I had a wok in the back of the car. That wok became my shovel all night. Put a little tent up, slept there, woke up in the morning, all Saturday. All Saturday night. Talk about persevering. Like just me and the Lord, Jerusalem Creek. Wrong vehicle, wrong place. What the heck? And just kept going. Sunday morning, like you think this is going to be it. All day Sunday. Just digging. Putting, you know, getting, breaking off trees and sticking them in. And in the end, finally got out before sunset on the Sunday. Perseverance, fruit of the Spirit, a time to be with the Lord. In that moment, there's so many things I could have done. When we're in those spots in between, you know, sometimes you get 3 hours in a day when you go like, oh, what sin can I do now? Just to satisfy my distraction. No. We're people who don't do that. Why? Because He has given all. And if He's given us all, even in that moment of that 3 hours when I'm really bored and feel like sinning, nah, He's given it all. I'll sit down to pray. Bing, bing. Someone beautiful, fantastic comes to visit the house. The time's filled. I can't see what's in front of us. Joshua couldn't see. He had to follow the ark. He followed holiness. The hallelujah ship. I was just by chance 3 weeks ago listening to a little voice thing. I was just driving home and it came up, bumped up out of Apple Play. What do you call that one? The panel? Yeah, so we do it. iPod. I can't think what he called it. Spot, no. It's on Apple Play. And it's when we listen to a podcast, thank you. Out of all the podcasts, I was looking for a Bethel podcast and a Sanctuary podcast pops up. It's second Sunday in December 2019, Adam speaking, And then we share a word about the hallelujah ship and how we're all on board the hallelujah ship and we all have a place on the hallelujah ship, even on the wheel, on the sails, on the crow's nest. We're all over this hallelujah ship. I don't know if you remember it, but I was like, whoa, I remember this. I saw this ship the other day. It's kind of like it. And the things of the world in the background. Even some of them calling themselves a crown. Things are getting revealed. We have to persevere. Truth is coming. Truth is moving. He has given all. And here's a group of people around the world, the remnant type people like us, who are going, we know the truth has come. The truth is not going away till the truth manifests. Wow. The wedding feast. But it's begun. The preparation's begun. On that ship, oh, by the way, that was pre-COVID. We knew nothing of COVID. Hallelujah, that place of praise, Zion. How good has that place of worship and praise been in our own personal lives through the traumas of COVID, through those fears of the media, through those experiences of other countries? How good has it been to be a people of worship? So prepped. We are so ready. Is there more? We're prepped. The Lord has got us. He will bring us through. He brought those three ladies through in calm confidence, holding them very closely with him. And these men. Already gathering around a table of plenty. How symbolic was the Spirit Lands weekend? Of men just partaking in heavenly glory of the future in the present now. Like the healing that was in the room before, like the healing that's here now. Partaking of the presence of the Lord here and now. We need to discipline our minds, of course. We need to discipline our minds so that we can be teachable. The clearing out, urging you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to be presenting our bodies, dedicating all of ourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God. It's rational, it's logical, it's intelligent, it's an act of worship. Don't be conformed to this world. Superficial values, customs. Be transformed, progressively changed, patient. Remember that time at Jerusalem Creek? I was just like, yes. Struggling, but patient, persevering. I have to get through this. I will get through this. Some of our changes are like that. We mature spiritually by the renewing of our minds, focusing on godly values, ethical attitudes, so we may prove, even for ourselves, what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for us. Now, Jesus, when he does those miracles in the Gospels, so powerful, showing the releases of authority, but in a mega way, saying how personal I am already with you, that I know your condition, I know your past, I know your present, I actually know your future. I don't know how that works because we're so autonomous, but he actually knows how we're going to spin into the future. It's like, that's God. No other God can do that. To be present where we don't even know where we're going. And for us to talk about, like here we are gathered, talking about the unseen God. How pleasing is that to the Father's heart? That we would talk and talk and be with and sing to an unseen God, living on the very faith that he's bestowing upon us. Transforming us into the excitement of a day where there will be no death. The sting taken. Even now, when we act against demonic warfare, principalities that aren't seen by us but are there, They have no authority unless we commit to them. Unless we come under that gloom, darkness. Why would you want that? We need to be rational and intelligent in our decisions, in disciplining our minds. Not be overwhelmed by those things that aren't of God. Look at them. Four strong fishermen. They didn't even know they were going to be there. And yet they were. Led by Andy. One caught a fish, the memory of which is going to serve him for 5 years.
Dispatcher, maybe? Yeah, dispatcher. Okay. Yeah. Van,
Good. So they're on a mission, and that's their ministry, to flow in who they are all the time. Forging new creation responses, led by our Father's revealed love. Think again at 12:2. In Christ Jesus, we're living wells. We always say Jesus is a living well. We are the living wells.
Yes, we are.
For people around us, we are wells.
Yep.
Well springs of life.
Yes.
We are the river flowing through the desert. We're the ones that they have contact with, who helps their unbelief.
Yep.
We are the people of divine refuge. We are the ones who worship and we pray all day and all night because our conscience is being cleaned. So the pure in heart begin to see the unseen God. There's a highway, says Isaiah. A highway will be there and a roadway, and it will be called the Holy Way. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for those who walk on the way, the redeemed. It's like this. It's like our unrighteousness, the rags of our unrighteous trying, have been soaked in a blood, the blood of Jesus. And the passion that the Father has for that sacrifice ignites that rag and burns brightly. We are those witnesses.
Yes.
My sin has been passed over. I am being cleansed, being patient with myself. Sometimes we come into that place where that sniper comes up and goes, I don't deserve this. I can't receive this because I'm not worthy. That's the one that we need to deal with. The strong man who dealt with it. Jesus dealt with it. Jesus has already dealt with the strong man. Another way to communicate the idea of the living sacrifice is to say we consecrate ourselves to God. The consecration of God is the most important aspect of succeeding at being ourselves. And yet is that act of worship. All through the day and all through the night, just living our life, our best life. The one that's on the knees, repentant, and the one that stands up again, because something happened when I bowed down. And where I'm going tomorrow is not the same habit, because we're creating new ways and new pathways.
Amen.
It's an act of worship. He breaks the strong man in our life and has broken the sniper's back. That thing that says to you, you can't receive this, it's not worthy, you're not worthy, that's the smacker. Let Jesus deal with that. If you want to fight, let that fight be there in that place. Let that sniper be smacked. It's not easy, I know. It's a struggle. It can be constant. A constant reminder, but you've got, and this is where the renewal of the mind goes, no, you speak to my Father about that. Deflect it to the cross. You want to accuse me like that? How about you look at the blood of Jesus Christ? That's the only conversation we need to have with things like that. It's not our fight, it's his fight. He broke the strong man. We're in a place of convergence, being recreated and accessing and accepting the truth of his love. A love so strong, so real, that we manifest the blessings that are flowing from Christ Jesus. There's a guy up in Blue Mountains at Lawson. He's lived there all his life. He went to primary school, kindergarten, barefoot when he started. He's like 90-something. Became a Catholic priest, and now he's the only consecrated priest living a solitude monastic life. And that's his prayer intercession. So he's what a guy he is, sitting there praying in his state of being for people like us. He's also a geologist, or was a geologist, active geologist, and knows all the substance of the Blue Mountains, written books about it. At the end of one of his books, he says, the flowing of Jesus Christ's life is like putting your hand into a creek or a wild river in the Blue Mountains and feeling the water flowing. The same water that's touching, it's really difficult, it's like one of these things, mysteries. The water that's touching my hand now is in the presence of God as it flows through my hands. And I know that the water that's coming will come. And the water that's down there was just here. And that's the flow of the Spirit beneath the circumstances of our conscious life. That we're wells. Every time we stop and sit with Jesus, that's not an imagination. You are with Jesus. He is present. He has broken down every barrier. Our minds are cultural in the sense of a kingdom coming. And that fellowship we have with one another, yeah, I know that feeling. You're not going to lose it. You're being strengthened. You're doing the right thing. You're in a good place. Someone's speaking to you, that's speaking to me. That's why those two guys who saved their train knew that they could get that coupling undone or done up, because they were listening to the same voice. We rest by still waters. The resting, I had a strange experience the other day, and it's a bit like this one about Jesus has given all. Just waking up in the morning and feeling the presence of the Lord upon me, not for big issues of forgiveness, but a different era, a different space for the little things. It was like this little, just let go of that. Little things like this. Esther's got into the shower before me. How annoying is that? I didn't realize that that can cause offense and be a build-up and a blockage. First a little twig, then it catches onto the side of a rock, then some rubbish flows down the creek, and then very soon the creek's not flowing. Get rid of that. But the Holy Spirit was actually helping me, because I never recognized those little things could be an issue. So free-flowing. And it was like a tangible presence of anointing. Not those really strong ones where people... See, talking about that great story. Not like that. It was just this little... But it wasn't like, I'm not used to that sort of thing. But it was just this little tingle manifesting, I guess, a sense of it was just little things that happen that can be building up. So let them go. Get that picture of who I am, and that I'm actually trying to flow the kingdom into here. Letting it come in now. Why delay? Just want to finish on that. But there's a couple of little points. Just let me briefly go. Just about 5 minutes to go, I think. Thanks for listening so well. But little things like this that come up in us. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Come every day to me. You will never be hungry. Didn't say every day for no good reason, not just Sunday, every day. Believe in me and you will never be thirsty. Everyone my Father has given to me, they will come. So you're not going to lose it. You might not like this church for long and then you fall away and don't find another one, you're not going to lose your salvation. You might not reign as easily, but you might feel that you've lost your salvation. You can't, because it says here, "And all who come to me I will embrace, and I will never turn them away. My Father who sent me has determined that I will not lose even one of those he has given me. And I will raise them up in the last day." This translation, often you see "on the last day," but "in the last day." There's something we can draw on for the now in that. The cross is the reason why he can raise them up in the last day. But if the cross has been and the raising up is coming in the last day, we can draw on the kingdom freely now. "I will raise them up in the last day." So what parts of sin do we need to be put to death to allow him to raise up in us individually, corporately, as a family, to let his kingdom flow? Jesus wanted to go back to Bethany and they said, "No, don't go back there." Do you really want to go back there? It was just a short time ago that the people in Judea were actually going to stone you, they reminded him. Remember that place, Jesus? But Jesus said, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight in every day? You can go through a day without fear of stumbling when you walk in the one who gives light to the world." So he's saying, "I see the Father leading me back to Bethany. You will stumble when the light is not in you, for then you'll be walking in the dark. But when you're walking in the Father and you're walking in me, you're walking in the light. So as long as you know where I'm going and following me, you'll be there." I was thinking of Jen on the drums earlier, thinking of the wedding feast. I felt like I got transported to that wedding day. And then I wondered, what are we going to wear? What are you going to wear? You're going to be wearing something that's got blood on it for a start. You're right. You can wear whatever you want. Manna, remember manna that fell from heaven? Legend said it tasted like whatever you wanted. But the people lost the imagination for making it taste the way they wanted to taste. And then they got quiet. Then they got sick. Then they had worms and all that stuff. They were better off having manna. What's your manna? What do you want to wear? What do you want to wear in heaven when you die? When you go to that feast? For Jen, you know what? Like, she wants to be a part of it and just be there. But for one part of it, because that's her identity, bridegroom. Bride, feast, happening. Doesn't want to be just doing the drums all the time. That's not her identity. That's just a gift, more than a gift. But you know, Jesus is going to want her to play at that feast at some time. So sometimes she gets to share her mana with us in that feast. How many days and centuries it goes for, we don't care. At some time there, you're wearing what you want to wear, playing the drums. It's like something red with brass on it. And just look and go, "I remember that day we spoke about this in Sanctuary." Just that twinkle in the eye. No, you're there. We've all got mana like that. Come down from heaven in Christ to be the people we want to be. It's so amazing. It starts now. The ministry gate is open to be who we are in the workplace all the time. Sometimes it's like Jerusalem Creek, persevering with a walk. And sometimes it's just the right vehicle in the right space. And you've got to lead. And then all of a sudden you've got to go, "Actually, this is between you and God. It was actually you, God, that helped me have that proud moment of taking the company to the next level." And be able to wear that. Without pride coming in, without lies coming in, going, "It was all about you, wasn't it?" Because we're people who hold one another in the love of the Lord. Not an accountability, is it? It's a freedom of encouragement to say, yes, we can have the mana, and we can have that mana in thanksgiving for the life we want to have, set free from all boundaries. And some of it, yes, we have to persevere. So coming is a new, this is 2 Peter 3, 13. There are coming heavens new in quality and an earth new in quality where righteousness will be fully at home. So the righteousness that's coming, we can partake of. When Adam was talking about 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, the breaking of time, this is that. That manifestation where we can imagine the mana being more and breaking through, not from past experiences, but breaking through into a presence of the Lord being with us. Acts 2, God destroyed the cords of death and raised him up because it was impossible for death's power to hold him prisoner. This is the very thing David prophesied. I continually see the Lord in front of me. That's us. He is at my right hand and I am never shaken. No wonder my heart is glad and my glory celebrates. My mouth is filled with praises and I hope that my body will live because you will not leave my soul among the dead, nor will you allow your sacred one to experience decay. For you have revealed to me the pathways of life, and seeing your face fills me with euphoria. There in Psalm 16, the same verse, the same part being used. Lord, I have chosen you alone as my inheritance. You are my prize, not my distraction. You are my prize. You are my pleasure. You are my portion. I leave my destiny and its timing in your hands. The way you counsel and correct me makes me praise you even more, for your whispers in the night give wisdom and you show me what to do next. Because you are close to me and always available, my confidence will never be shaken. I experience your presence every moment. My heart and soul explode with joy, full of glory. Even my body will rest in confidence and secure, for you will not abandon me to the realm of death, nor will you allow your Holy One to experience corruption, for you bring me a continual revelation of resurrection life, the path to bliss that brings me face to face with you. So be determined to stand. We surrender our position in a way such as to move the heart of God, sanctuary people. We live to move the heart of God. Like Joshua, we're in prayer, we think through in reflection and have another metanoia, yet another metanoia, yet another metanoia as we turn and access wisdom. And bring ourselves into alignment with his ways, to be freed from whatever might have been into what can be, so filled with the fruit of his Spirit. For he's proven to us that he is the greatest treasure. He certainly won't withhold from us anything, because he's already given us. So that one thing of chaos that can happen along the way is when one kingdom tries to mix with another kingdom. And that convergence is like two different oceans. We're either going to flow with the fresh water or we're going to allow the sticky stuff to stay around. He can't give to you freely if you're not his fully. And the more we give, the more we're the bride, and he's the bridegroom, the more he can give. Song of Songs, for example. So it's a battle. Last little part before we look at Philippians. The earth and every activity of people is about to be laid bare, is being laid bare and will be. Since all these things are on the verge of being dismantled, lies are being dismantled. Cheating, slander, being dismantled. Truth comes. So it's vital to live a holy life and enter into this. We have opportunity. We have time. What we do for ourselves in the Lord is a shining light to those around us. You don't need to always go down to the quagmire to pull them out. Sometimes you just need to stand on the hill and be an inspiration. With a shiny caravan and a brand new four-wheel drive, they can say, how did they get there? If they know the story, if they know your story, they'll know how to get there. It's vital. As we wait, we trust that we can help speed up the coming of the day of our Lord. God's authoritative proclamation will be fulfilled. There are coming the heavens of new quality and the earth of a new quality, and their righteousness will be fully at home. So think upon these things in disciplining our minds. True, honourable, worthy of respect, right, confirmed by God's word, pure, wholesome, lovely, brings peace, admirable, good repute, excellent, worthy of praise. Think continually on these things. That's a discipline of the mind. So we ask your Holy Spirit to bring this scripture and these things to life in our lives, that they have served your church well through the centuries. We ask you to bring these things into our life. May that uncoupling of the chain be just as simple as lifting it up. And may our ministries just drive out through that gate into the broad fields, to the people close to us and the people far away from us. And let us not worry about how we're going to get them there. Just be who we are in you, that you may be who you will be in them. We turn from our sin afresh, Lord. We ask you and thank you, for your presence is always with us. Thinking how in China, we sometimes hear bad things about China, but you know, it's the most Christian nation on earth. 100 million Christians. They're praying for us. Worldwide revival. They're praying for us, despite their situation. Amazing. Just while we're lingering, let the Holy Spirit just linger. Yeah. Let that Sabbath fire be.